From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar. A pair of coordinated attacks hit Iran's capital, Tehran, Wednesday, targeting Iran's parliament and the mausoleum of the late Ayatollah Khomeini. Iranian officials said four attackers armed with automatic rifles and pistols made their way into the parliament, shooting indiscriminately. Early reports said one security guard was dead and several others injured. In the other incident, four attackers burst into the shrine of Ayatollah Khomeini with firearms and explosives, leaving at least one person dead. The attacks against Iran followed a reported strike by U.S. forces against Syrian military positions in that country, raising questions about the intentions of the Trump administration in the aftermath of the president's trip to Israel and Saudi Arabia, and in the context of a now open feud between two U.S. allies in the region, the Saudis and Qatar. For more on all of that, we spoke with Giulietto Chiesa, an Italian journalist, author, and lecturer, via Skype from Rome Wednesday. First of all, thank you for joining us. You were just interviewed by Sputnik, the Russian news outlet, about the situation in Qatar and Saudi Arabia and just all of the things that are going on around that rivalry right now. That article probes the current difficulties, to put it mildly, between Qatar and Saudi Arabia and some of the distinctions between the groups that they sponsor. Maybe you could fill us in on some of the details.
Well, it is no secret that Saudi Arabia and the Wahhabites have the dominant part of this crisis. They evidently, I suppose, after the meeting with Mr. Donald Trump, President of the United States, they decided together that the leading role in this coalition, anti-Iran coalition, is in Riyadh, Saudi Arabia. And this gave the green light to the attack against Qatar. Evidently, they were waiting this moment, and they wanted to underline that they are the dominating force. But certainly, the crisis did not begin now. It is a long time. They are feuding among themselves around the fight in Syria. It is evident that the Qatari leader are Salafists also. There are two different versions of the Salafists, the Salafists Wahhabi and the Salafists from Qatar. And there are two coalitions. During the Syria war, the Qatar Doha part sustained evidently the al-Nusra and al-Qaeda to a certain extent, while Saudi Arabia gave money and armaments and many other supports to the Daesh or ISIL or ISIL's, how you prefer to call them. There is no identity with the two formations. And for evident reason, the Saudi Arabia are working with a very radical and strong direction, while the Qatar Emirate is working with the Muslim Brothers, which is a different way of thinking. This is the main ideological on stage difference. But in fact, the difference is not ideological, not only ideological, and in the same time, it is much more probable connected with the future of energy in the Gulf, Persian Gulf. You know about the findings of a huge, extremely big under the sea container of gas, which is probably the biggest in the last 20 years found. And this under the sea container, huge container, is for the 50% more or less in the water of Iran, and the other is in the water of the the western coast of the Gulf, Persian Gulf, and there are connected with this idea. There are two main projects of a gas duct who is planned as the way to send this gas in a big, huge quantity to the Mediterranean. Probably you know that one of the reasons of the war in Syria was the refusal of Mr. Bashar al-Assad to allow the transpassing of the territory of Syria of the gasoduct from exactly from the coast of from the Saudi Arabia coast of the sea, or Saudi Arabia, or Qatar, or United Emirates. It is not clear, but in any case, through Saudi Arabia. And when Bashar al-Assad refused to allow this construction, they began the war against him, it's evidently. Now the war has been lost. This is the main question. The Syrian regime is winning with the help of the Russian, and Saudi Arabia is working to create another variation of this gasoduct through Jordan and Israel to go to the sea, to the Mediterranean Sea. And the other project is the Iran program to make a gasoduct on the north through Iran and Turkey. And this second idea is a very big contribution to the project, to the Chinese project about the Silk Road. That is the big question. And evidently, the Qatar leader decided to begin not to make a deal. It would be too dangerous. They began some kind of approachment with the Tehran leaders. Simply that it was sufficient to change radically, and this is my explanation of the crisis. Saudi Arabia wants to regain the lost field after the war in Syria, and they are decided to go till the end, it seems. Most important thing is that the Egypt al-Sisi leader immediately joined this operation, notwithstanding that there are very different positions on many subjects with Saudi Arabia. But the question is that Saudi Arabia and Egypt don't want any complication with the Muslim Brothers. Yeah. And this is a very important step from the side of al-Sisi, because they have and they want to fight against the Muslim Brothers also in Libya. This will change all the picture of the situation. And I believe that there will be a big effect in the future, because the Saudi Arabia is going in full agreement, and the UAE, United Emirates, also are going straight for war with Israel. The inspiring factor of this operation is certainly Israel. And, well, Mr. Trump has decided to sponsorize Israel in changing the direction of the attack against Iran. This will produce, I believe, very big changes on the landschaft image of the Middle East. This is my fundamental thesis.
So you have a lot of things in motion here too. Just with the beginning of this outbreak of hostilities between Saudi Arabia and Qatar, Russia and Qatar immediately speaking. Russia had, however, been also speaking with El-Sisi in Egypt, and who is in opposition to, you know, in fact, he deposed the elected Muslim Brotherhood president of Egypt and has suppressed the Muslim Brotherhood there, backed by the Qataris. In Libya, you've had fighting essentially between the Saudi-backed ISIS and other groups and the Qatari-backed Muslim Brotherhood and other groups. You have in Turkey the influence of the Muslim Brotherhood and the role that Turkey's played in fighting in Syria and also somewhat in Iraq. You have the attempt by the West in connection with both the pipeline projects, the Silk Road project, and just generally to block the rise of what they call a crescent of Shia nations, including Iran. So with all these moving parts going on, it's difficult to know from day to day who's on which side and how it's all going to shake out. What do you see going on going forward?
It's very difficult to evaluate at this moment the evolution of the situation. It's very difficult because, I need information from the field, and I have not yet. But the only question I can say, and I have heard quite attentively the speech of Mr. Lavrov yesterday. He told very clearly that Russia will not take part in this dispute. Russia is ready to speak with everybody, even with the Qatar, and they are speaking actively, and they are speaking with Al-Sisi too. I don't know which is their role in this moment, but I believe that they wanted to stay to a certain distance from this crisis, and probably they will influence that, but it is not the moment. Russia has decided to watch and to see the evolution of the situation. At this moment, I have no more information, but it is clear that Russia don't want to take part. And certainly Russia cannot be from the side of Saudi Arabia, because Saudi Arabia is decisive on the situation on the ground in Syria, even if they are losing ground, even if they are going out of the scene more or less very soon. But in any case, they are active actors inside Syria. And probably one of the way that Russia will take part is to obtain that either Qatar and Saudi Arabia or all the two have to take decision to stop the fighting there. This will be a very important step from the Russian side. If Russia will obtain that, after that we will see what Russia is proposing to the different factions fighting. But my idea is that, in principle, Russia is very interested to stop the fighting in Syria first, and secondly, to take part to the Silk Road project. That means they will support the idea of the Iranian pipeline for the gas. I believe that this will be fundamental in the future. But many things can happen. I have no more information on that. We have to follow. This is probably the biggest crisis in the Middle East in the last 30 years.
And then there's this spillover, if you know, it's one way of looking at it anyway, in Libya. And Russia has, as of late, started to get more deeply involved in trying to make peace there. Libya is a transshipment point for the migration into Europe, as Gaddafi had warned, and also has been a source of tremendous instability throughout Africa. As a matter of fact, the removal of the former government in Libya removed some very promising prospects for African unity and independence, which would have allowed, for example, the development of deeper ties with China. And now you have instead chaos and AFRICOM across Africa. With Russia trying to get involved somewhat in Libya to calm things down there, do you see perhaps some possibilities of coordinate work with al-Sisi, for example, who's also looking for peace in Egypt, and maybe the opportunity to help China make some inroads into Africa?
Well, I believe that China is in this question at the moment a little bit apart. They are watching, but they are not active actors, I believe. The new question, the new fact is that Russia is becoming an actor in the Libyan crisis. It is not the last day, but in the last month, it was clear that Russia would like to have its own part in this operation, and but not directly. Russia will play under the coalition of al-Sisi, that is Egypt, acting there in the first place is Egypt, and Russia probably will help al-Sisi to destroy the Brotherhood, Muslim Brotherhoods there, and the remains of the terrorist group like al-Nusra or al-Qaeda. This is the question that Russia will pursue, evidently, but not in a very explicit way. Russia don't want to create a new place of confrontation. That is not in the line of Putin to create a new front of confrontation. They will act covert. They will politically covering the situation, but not military. This is my perception.
And then, you know, the Saudis have played a role in depressing petroleum prices, you know, over the past couple of years, which, you know, to some looked like an attempt to coordinate an attack against Russia's economy, Venezuela's economy, you know, some others. And, you know, as Russia gets involved in Libya and, say, perhaps if there's a reset of a relationship with Qatar, is it possible there might be a reconfiguration of forces, say, inside of OPEC or just generally in the petroleum markets?
I cannot be sure on that, but the only question it is visible that this crisis play a good role for Russia. In the last days, the price of oil have surged significantly, which is a good news for Russia, and this will last to a certain period of time. Sure, for Russia is a very good solution. In the meantime, they will restore their financial system about export of oil, and this is it is a profitable situation. But pay attention to the fact that Putin is very, very prudent. There is on the table. It is a very complicated chessboard. There are not two players. There are many players. One of these players is Trump. And Russia has not, till now, changed or eliminated his hope that with Trump it will be possible to have some kind of agreement. That is, for that, this is one of the reasons that Russia will stay very, very calm and reflexive on these different scenarios. That means, now it is very early. I believe that Russia will exercise its influence, but very slowly and very attentively. Putin does not like any risk move in this moment, and in this crisis especially.
And that's actually very consoling for some of us who have been looking at the international situation as being riddled with all kinds of risk, to have a cool head at the table. Trump did his little tour, goes to Saudi Arabia and Israel very prominently. Within a week and a half, you have an attack against the Syrian army, in essence, on the ground by U.S. forces, and then this terrorist attack the same day in Iran, in the midst of this, breakup or whatever the existing condition between Qatar and Saudi Arabia. Do you think that these things are connected, that perhaps Trump, who had campaigned and was in part elected on a promise of no more regime change and of trying to, lower the level of hostilities, has suddenly decided to become an active player in the Syrian war and to match his rhetoric against Iran with, hybrid war military action?
this is open a big question, because who is working, preparing some kind of terrorist action in Tehran? It is clear that, for me, it is clear that there are different centers creating terror actions. Some of these centers are in the West. Secret services, it is not one. The terrorist action against Tehran, which is has been today, we are discussing about today, it can be from different sources, different groups. Clearly, important information coming from Russia, in fact, that almost 70% of all the secret services in the United States and abroad are privatized. What does it mean? Does it mean that there are groups connected with the secret services, but connected at the same time with big financial groups? They have armies. They have secret services from their own. They are working with the different, plans. And probably not all the plans are homogeneous. There are plans conflicting among them. That means it is difficult to decide who are the protagonists of this operation. We have to understand the discussion about the negotiation between the United States and Russia cannot be understood if we take into account only the official decision, state decision. There are state decisions, for instance, from the side of Mr. Trump. There are non-state decisions or private or half-private decisions coming from different subjects who are working with different strategies. This is a very big danger of the present time. It is not connected only with the crisis in the Gulf, in the Persian Gulf. It is connected with the overall situation. We are in a new, completely new system of hybrid war, where the protagonists are state and private, big armies or secret services. I cannot answer in detail, but the picture I am trying to have in front is exactly this.
And that's pretty troubling, because we've seen this phenomenon in Iraq, for example, and Libya, and we're seeing it play out in Syria. And in the aftermath, there's no resolution, because you have so many different factions and moving parts that it just continues in a chaotic state.
Well, I just finished to write a book whose name is Global Chaos. That is, we are in a global chaos, and we have no rules now. There are no rules. Everything can happen without out of the tradition. That is also me and you, like analysts, have to take into account this fact that we need another framework to understand the situation. From the point of view of the states, the question is that the West is losing the control. The question, if you point your attention, it is clear that this is happening in the West. All of this is the West and its allies. Russia is out of this, is some kind of victim. China is out of this. The rest of the world is or a victim or counting in any way. This is a big crisis of the West, and I don't know, has the West the possibility under this situation, according to this dislocation of forces, to create a new system of relation? Frankly speaking, I don't believe. We are going to a chaos, and this chaos is preparing a big clash with Russia, with China, and even inside the West.
And then finally, the soil, the international context for all of this can be illustrated, for example, with the rollout of the entire Western elite to campaign against Brexit and the adoption of Brexit. As a matter of fact, going back to Greece, of the entire Western elite campaigning against Syriza, and Syriza being elected and their referendum passing, then Brexit, then Trump here, the entire U.S. and global elite, campaigning with Clinton and Trump winning. In other words, the structural manifestations of state power and other official power lining up on one side, and the people, in one fashion or another, as chaotic as their responses, even standing up in opposition. We had people that lifted Sanders, people that lifted Trump, and people in the streets for the past several years. They're not working together, but they're all in rebellion, essentially, against the existing structures. So all of these hybridized types of warfare and all these cross currents of power that are being manifest in various battlefields, figuratively and literally, take place within this context. Where does this all go?
The political elite of the West has lost control with their own peoples in the United States, in Italy. Everywhere is the same thing. The political elite has been in a full surprise, understanding that they cannot control the immediate reaction of large mass of people. This is an effect of the social crisis, and at the same time, it's an effect of the loss of confidence in institutions and in mass media that are doubling the function of the institution, and they are lying everywhere. And millions of people understand that the political elite altogether, state institution plus media institution, are lying. This is the final clash, which will open a new era, but without any possibility to take some kind of order in a short period of time. Everybody is free all, and everybody is going in different direction without any center of, I should say, of hegemony, but hegemony in the intellectual sense. No one has a project to propose, a new project to propose after the failure of globalization. Nobody in the United States, in Europe, has any idea to what will happen and what they can propose, what they can promise. They have nothing to say to the people, to the young generation. This is a deep, very deep crisis. For that reason, we need a new instrument of analysis, because this situation is going straight to a catastrophe, to a political catastrophe in the West, and after that, immediately, to avoid the difficulty to explain to the people what is going on, to simply to open a war, a clear war. And this is it will be an initiative from the West and not from Russia. Evidently, not from Russia, certainly not from China.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.